Good morning. Good morning to all. I'm Pastor Eliezer. I'm the senior pastor here at Trinity United Methodist Church, and we are glad to have you with us this morning. As you probably have noticed, we are not outside as we have been doing for the past several weeks and past several months. We decided to come in today for the rain, trying to avoid the rain at this moment. So we are indeed inside the sanctuary, and not many folks inside. It's mostly the folks who are working with making possible that this service is moving forward. And so we're so grateful to God for those folks who are here with us today. And we pray indeed that as you watch from a distance, from the comfort of your home, hopefully, that God indeed will be blessing you and guiding you as we worship together this morning. We have been doing this again since COVID. We were asked to go indoors because of COVID, and we have been doing the service this way, and we have been also maintaining our distance as we have all our meetings and Bible studies and studies in the church via Zoom or some other venue that allows us to still be together even though we're not in the same room. So we have been blessed by that, and we have been blessed because God, of course, has used this new venue so that we are able to reach out to many people who are not able to come to church for different reasons, and they are able to join us through this platform. And so we are indeed blessed by the Lord for this wonderful opportunity. So we urge you to join us. We urge you to join us as you're watching. If you're interested in joining us for Bible study, check our website, and so that you can see exactly all the things that we're doing and all the offerings for Bible studies and different studies that we're offering in the church, so that you can come in and be part of this work that we're doing. We're also connecting in different ways in the community, so you also most likely will like to also be connected to us to find out all the things that are happening and all the things that are coming from this church. If you go to our website and you can actually subscribe to our MailChimp so that you can receive information and updates about the things that are happening in church and the things that are happening that we are doing as a faith community in our community. So please do that if you would like to receive information. And also for those who would like to receive information when we are doing something like this, when we had to change venues to do our service, because the information will be emailed to folks as well as will be on our answering machine in the office. So please, if you would like to receive information from us, please, by all means, connect, subscribe to our MailChimp. Let us know that you're here. If you're interested in leaving a prayer request, if there is something that is in your heart that you would like us to pray for, please leave a comment on the comment section of your YouTube video as you're watching this. Let us know if there is anything you would like us to pray for, or if you like the service, just leave us a comment. As we have said here in the past also, there is a little button at the bottom of your screen, the video, that looks like this. So please hit that one, not the other one. We are not even mentioning the other one because that's not important, but the one that looks like this is the one we want you to click, saying that you like it. If you don't like it, if there's something you think that we can do better, please help us with that and send us your comments. We look forward to hearing from you. Today you will be you will hear some songs in Spanish as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. Our celebration is a reflection of the contributions of Hispanic Americans and Latinx people who have made a life in our country and have contributed to the life of our country and the United Methodist Church. Hispanic Americans and Latinx have been part of the fabric of American society and have contributed to our common life, indeed, for many generations. From medicine to scientists, from arts to entertainment, from politics to religious life, members of this community have been part of what we called the great tapestry of that North American life. So these are folks who have been here. We have been here for many generations, and we are not going anywhere. For God indeed has called us to be in this place and to be part of this people that we call the American people. If you're able to watch after all this today, please join us as we worship God, as we indeed receive the blessings from God this morning. This comes to you as a gift from the people of Trinity United Methodist Church. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is coming from the book of Psalm, chapter 106, verse 1 through 6, and then verse 19 through 23. And thus it reads, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord, or declare all his praise? Happy are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you deliver them, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may see glory in your heritage. Both we and our ancestors have sinned. We have committed iniquity, have done wickedly. They made a calf at Horeb and worshipped a cast image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them?" Our second scripture reading is coming from Philippians, chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. My beloved, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be on the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. Together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Our gospel reading lesson comes from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. The word of God says, "Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner.
My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For there many are called, but few are chosen." This is the word of God. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ.
My brothers and sisters, at this time we're coming to the proclamation of the word, and we have asked Pastor Giovanni Arroyo to come and be with us this morning to bring the word. And I know that some of you already know Pastor Arroyo, since he has been connected to this church for many years, and this church has been the church that also sponsored him as a candidate for ordained ministry. So we have had this man with us for quite a while, and he has been a blessing to this church in many ways. As you probably know, Dr. Giovanni Arroyo is a native of Puerto Rico, and as he, I love the fact that he makes this part of his biography. His native tongue is Spanish, and English is his second language, which happens to be exactly the same thing as in my case, but I never say that, amen? I mean, but it's a wonderful thing to hear that he actually makes that a point in his bio. He, of course, was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and at an early age, he came to live in New York. And in New York City, he joined the United Methodist Church, he and his family. And from that time on, from joining the United Methodist Church in Queens, New York, and the Methodist Church was La Iglesia Metodista Unida San Pablo in Queens, New York. And I just mentioned that to give kudos to that church and actually raise a young man to help him become the man he is today. So from that church to the present time, the United Methodist Church has been the spiritual home for Pastor Giovanni. His acquaintance with the Methodist Church has led him into so many different places in the denomination, but also to serve in so many places, as he also served here with the Latino ministry we had here for several years here in Frederick. And he still is helping with that ministry at Brook Hill, helping Pastor Jennifer Mauras and the work that they're doing to connect with the Latino community here in Frederick. After coming to Washington, he came to Washington actually to study at Wesley Seminary, where he earned his Master's in Divinity. And here, then he became a member of the Baltimore-Washington Conference, and he was ordained a full member of our conference, and was 2018, right, Giovanni? It's 2018, and so since then he has been, again, serving here for many years now. And, of course, we met when he was in New York, because I also was serving in New York, and that's where we actually originally met. And it's interesting that two folks coming from New York, from a Puerto Rican background, ended up in Baltimore, Washington, serving the Lord. I think that that's a wonderful blessing. I don't know, something God is doing, those Puerto Rican people coming into this part of the world. Since 2019, Pastor Giovanni has been serving at the General Commission on Religion and Race, one of our general agencies in the United Methodist Church. And he's charged there with developing and designing initiatives related to the commission's priorities. And in addition, he serves also as a contact person for partners and stakeholders across the connection, serving the general church and also annual conferences and local churches. Pastor Giovanni administers also one of the funds that go to support one of those ministries like the one he mentioned earlier, support that comes from your giving to this church. In 2020, Pastor Giovanni earned, earned, I will say, his DMIN, his doctorate of ministry from Wesley Theological Seminary. So this is just this year in May. He actually graduated finally from the doctorate of ministry program. And indeed, we are blessed to have him with us. He told me not to say too many things about him, so I tried to keep it short. But I think that these are things you need to know, especially for those who are in the audience watching. The most important thing I have to say about Pastor Giovanni is that he is a brother in Christ. He is your brother in Christ. And indeed, we are blessed to have him here to bring the word to us this morning. Pastor Giovanni.
First of all, thank you, Pastor Lisette, for inviting me to be part of today's worship. It's always fun to be among you and to bring the Word of God. And I just want to say thank you, Tamara, for your gift of music. It truly is a blessing to hear the songs, the hymns in my own native tongue, because it just reminds me of where God is a God of all languages, of all cultures, of all people. And so that is a center reminder. This is going to be a challenge. You know, those who know me, I like to walk. So I will try to do my best. And camera person, man, I'm sorry. I'm just giving my heads up on that. But before we start, could we be in prayer? Gracious and loving God, you created us in a beautiful mosaic tapestry where we are all different, unique, and beloved. And this time, oh God, we come knowing that wherever we are, that we may let go of our to-do list. May we focus on your word. And may we let the Spirit talk to us. Move among us, O God. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Have you ever received an invitation to a party you really did not want to go to? What did you do about it? I bet you did not mistreat, abuse, or murder the mailman. That's what happens in today's parable. Maybe Jesus is giving us an exaggerated statement or a claim not to be taken seriously. Have you ever invited people to your party who did not attend? You cleaned, you cooked, you set the table, decorated the table, you lit candles. The music is playing. Everything was ready, but some of the guests didn't come. Did it make you so angry that you killed them and burned down their houses? Probably not. But that's what happens in today's parable. Maybe Jesus has given us an exaggerated statement or a claim not to be taken seriously. Today's gospel reading can be a troubling one when we hear it. And if I'm honest with you, I've been asking myself, why in the world did I pick this text out of the four texts that we had? And I told Pastor Elisa, I was struggling because they were all beautiful. And why did I pick this one to preach? Because it is a hard scripture to swallow, if you let me say that. But today's gospel reading portrays the kingdom of heaven in an allegorical story of a king who gives a wedding feast to his son. The narrative begins when the king sending his servants out to issue invitations to the guests. In Palestine, in Christ's time, few festive celebrations rivaled any wedding banquet, let alone a royal one. A wedding was a joyous time, the greatest moment in the lives of the newlyweds. For a royal wedding, it was the greatest moment in the life of a whole kingdom. With this parable of the royal wedding banquet, Christ is giving us a sense of the heaven that he is preparing for us. It's giving us a glimpse of the joyous celebration eternity will be. But this allegorical story shares some surprising twist for us. The first surprise of the story is that the invited guest refused to come. Undaunted, the king sends another set of servants, sends more servants out with the message that the dinner has been set. Everything is ready. It is prepared. But again, the invitees refuse. This time, mocking servants, even mistreating and killing them. Enraged by those actions, the response of the king is to fight back, destroying the murderers, burning their city, and declaring that the invitees were not worthy anyway. He sends the servants out a third time to gather all whom they found, both good and bad, unto the wedding hall is filled. Given the context of this scripture to the people in Matthew's community, the story is recounting the historical events of Israel's rejection of the first prophets and then the missionaries who carried the Christian message. The destruction of Jerusalem by Rome in 70 after Christ's birth is echoed in the burning of the city, the final act of opening the kingdom to the Gentile community is portrayed in the extension of the banquet invitation to the unexpected guest. Here's the twist to the story, portraying the kingdom of heaven in which the guests are a mixed group of least and last. The story becomes a story of abundant grace of God that welcomes in all, whether they are worthy or unworthy. For us United Methodists, we understand grace to be a gift from God, something that we undeserved, unmerited, and loving action of God to human existence through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the story that we have before us. It's a story that demonstrates a hopeful and promising message. God's grace is for all. God's grace does not have limitations. Now, there's no doubt that there's judgment in this story. But may not be the judgment we think it is. Speaking about the first group, the guests that the king invites, says those were not worthy. by implication of that statement, our human nature automatically says that the second invited group weren't worthy. Just because of that statement. We tend to get nervous and fearful when God begins making judgments. It leaves us wondering, where are we going to fall? Are we the first group or the second group? Are we worthy or unworthy? And I imagine our nervousness and fear about God's judgment arises from the assumption that God judges us in the same way we judge others. Mercy. More often than our judgments of others are judgments of exclusion. Many times when we engage in that judgment spirit, we are thinking about who is welcome and who is not welcome into our space, into our circle, into our little kingdom, because we think we are superior than others. What if it's just the opposite with God? What if Jesus is trying to shock us into seeing that the kingdom of heaven is not business as usual according to our standards? What if God's judgment on our lives is one of grace, acceptance, an invitation, a judgment of inclusion? This changes all that we see in this story and all that we say about this story. We are presented with the facts that there is no difference between the first group or the second group, and that one group is deserving more than the other. That is not the case in this story. They were invited at a prospective time. They were all recipients of an invitation given to them, and none of them had to do anything to earn or deserve that invitation. It was given. It is that true for them. It is true for us today. And if we're going to go into Wesleyan theology, that is previewing grace. Before we know it, God's grace is offered to us with us not even knowing that we are invited to that grace. It is existing before we even consider that God's grace was available to us. So when we think about the first group and the second group, the difference isn't the king likes one group or the other over the other. He wants someone, anyone, to come and join him in this joyous celebration. Both groups were given that opportunity. If it's true for them, it's true for us. See, there's no difference that some guests are good and others are bad. There's no distinction or judgment made based on behavior, attitudes, morals, values. To the contrary, with the second round of invitations, the king sends his servants to invite everyone you find in the streets. And he says, the good and the bad. And they went out. And they did that. If that's true for them, it is true for us as well. That's probably not the kind of social life most of us live. Offer to another or receive from another. But this parable really is challenging us to talk about God's kingdom and not about our kingdom. It's talking about what God expects us to be here on earth as well as heaven. And so it is in that space that the only difference that we find in the scripture between the first group and the second group is presence. the second group of guests showed up. The first guest did not. The wedding hall was filled with a second group of guests. That's the only difference between those two groups. Those who accepted showed up and were present. God offers us to be in relationship with the divine, offers us graciously that unconditional love, no matter what is our history, our background, our current state of being, the baggage that we have, that brokenness. Not one of those things excludes us from the invitation to God's banquet. See, God invites us to a banquet of inclusion, not of exclusion. Not one that has a checklist that has a minimum things that we must demonstrate to be invited. It is not a checklist of attributes and characteristics that we must possess in order to be invited. God, who comes to us, is a God who sees in every person worthiness to have a place at the table. The God who we proclaim as our Lord, as our Creator, the God whose love for humanity was so immense despite our actions against the divine, the God who embodied our human condition in order to redeem us from sin, the God who we profess to be Lord and Savior, is the God that invites us into the divine presence of a community of grace. The only requirement for the guest is to show up and be present. The key to our life in God is just show up. Be present. That's a lot easier said than done. Let's be honest. To be present is difficult work. I could imagine those of us who are at home might be playing a video game while you hear me preach. You might be writing, looking at your email as you hear the sermon. It is so difficult for us to be present. Think how difficult it is to be present to another person. It means establishing the other person as our priority. It means seeing them for who they are and not who we want them to be or think they should be. It means to open ourselves to receive their life into our own. It means the vulnerability of entrusting and giving our life to the other. It means really listening to what they say, and not just what we hear or want to hear. It means letting go of our own agendas, distractions, fears, and prejudices. It means that we're willing to sit in the uncomfortableness of not being the center of the world and allowing our neighbors' cultural heritage, language, accent, and world perspective not be minimized or oppressed. It means showing up when black lives are abused and killed by systems of oppression and seeking justice for the wrongdoing that they are facing. It means crying out for the injustice of having children separated from their families and held in detention centers. It means that we are willing to listen attentively in the love in our differences. It means that we are suspending judgment and embracing the imago Dei of our neighbor because they are sacred worth. It means bringing and offering all that we are and all that we have for each other. It means that we are willing to be Christ's body, Christ's hands, Christ's feet, Christ's voice in this world where there is so much hatred, where there is so much division, where there is so much us and them mentality. It means that we are willing to break apart from all that dichotomy and be willing to bring the God's love and God's grace to one another. It means that we are willing to show mercy when there is no mercy. It means that we are willing to pray for those who may think differently, who has a different perspective of our own thinking of this world. This is what it means to be present and showing up. for Jesus the Christ. To show up and to be present is to be worthy before God. It's that simple, and it's that difficult. We don't earn or prove our worthiness as a prerequisite to entering the banquet. We show up, we present ourselves, and discover our worthiness God has always known about us. That's when our lives begin to change. My friends, my siblings in Christ, the banquet that Christ talks about, this parable about the kingdom of heaven, it is not something in the future. It is something in the present. Because we today pray our Lord's Prayer and said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Where? On earth as in heaven. That means the kingdom of God is present here now. It is not something that we aspire to be. It is something that is required of us today. God is inviting us to start looking at our table, looking at that banquet. Who is not included? Who are we excluding from God's grace? And who are we to do so? Let us not use language. Let us not use accents. Let us not use smell. Let us not use different life experiences as a way to create us and them in God's banquet. For God's banquet is offered to all. It's a judgment of inclusion and not of exclusion. Siblings, what are you doing with your invitation today? The banquet is for all. Who are we to exclude anyone from the table of grace? Who are we to judge our siblings that have a different life journey than we do? So remember, God's grace is one of inclusion. Are you willing to embrace God's grace? Are you willing to show up and be present? In this COVID-19 new era of being church, that could be a simple reason for exclusion. But more than ever, we must be community with one another, even when the pandemic is calling us to keep distance. And so, are you willing to embrace God's grace, enjoy what transpires as a result of being present and being in the presence of God? And lastly, are you willing not to be a spectator at the banquet, but be an active participant of that table of grace? That's who we are called to be. Let us judge inclusion as we invite those to the table of God's love. And the people of God say, amen, amen, and amen. As part of our commitment to be active participants of that banquet, I invite you now to join me in this prayer of the Hispanic Creed. Will you join me now? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and the earth, creator of all peoples and all cultures, creator of all tongues and races. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, God made flesh in a person for all humanity. God made flesh in an age for all the ages. God made flesh in one culture for all cultures. God made flesh in love and grace for all creation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom God incarnate in Jesus Christ makes his presence known in all our peoples and our cultures, through whom God, creator of all that exists, gives us power to become new creatures, whose infinite gift makes us our one people, the body of Christ. We believe in the church, universal sign of God's reign, whose faithfulness is shown in many hues, where all the colors paint a single landscape, where all tongues sing the same praise. We believe in the reign of God, the day of the great fiesta, when all the colors of creation will form a harmonious rainbow, when all people will join in a joyful banquet, when all tongues of the universe will sing the same song. And because we believe, we commit ourselves to believe for those who do not believe, to love for those who do not love, to dream for those who do not dream, until the day when hope becomes reality. Amen and amen.
Praise be to God. Amen.